Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
Partner.
Ladies and gentlemen, for our regular listeners, you know what that music means. It's time for Meanwhile, Back on the Farm with Grant Marshall, my daddy, Mr. Grant Marshall. Grant Marshall!
Drew, how are you? How are you?
You know everyone loves you, eh?
Well, I'm not sure, but anyway.
Everybody loves you.
I kind of like that music, Drew. That's pretty good stuff.
Why don't you tell everyone, because we intro you with the same music all the time, tell everyone a little bit about that artist.
Well, of course, he's Don Messer, and he had the band called The Islanders, and they're from PEI. And they played on television, and they had their own show, 5:45 every night, the Don Messer for 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
That was it?
Yeah, just for 15 minutes on radio. They had Amara Osborne and Charlie Chamberlain, and they were part of the band.
Yeah, and you never missed it?
Not very often. No.
What radio station was it on? Do you remember?
CFRB.
CFRB.
Yeah.
1010 on your dial.
Yeah.
That's right.
That'd be back when they had Ray Sonnen.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Down Memory Lane with Ray Sonnen, and they had...
Wally Crowder.
Wally Crowder.
Oh, yeah. Wes McKnight, had the sports.
And they
Don Daynard, is that another name?
No, that's not from... No, he's from, Chum or something. And then they had from Police Headquarters. From Police Headquarters.
Yeah. Jocko Thomas.
Jocko Thomas. I want that name, Jocko. I love that name.
Isn't that like a real... That was an Aussie football guy.
Probably, I don't know.
All right.
They were stars for sure.
And Dad, you grew up with that kind of music.
Yes, I'm afraid we did.
Afraid?
No, be proud, man.
I know. It was my raising, and that's what we did, and enjoyed it very, very much. And had a good time on the farm, and then we had social events. I don't know whether I ever told you about this. About this time of year, they had what they called a box social.
Okay.
And this was the ladies of the community, and there was going to be a dance, but the ladies would bring the lunch. And
As they should.
And
International Women's Day, back up.
All right, sorry, yes. Yes?
They would dress up the box, the lunch, and, of course, the men in the dance hall would bid on these boxes. And they might be 50 cents, or they might be a dollar, and they might even get up to $2.
Whoa.
And if you really knew that girl and you wanted to sit with her, well, you might go even three or four.
Come on now. That's
money
crazy
well
money.
Spent.
Crazy money. So did you ever buy a woman?
Yes, I did. And the boxes were running short, and I think I was about 14, and I found I was going to have some lunch, so... I bid on this one, and I got the lady.
Yeah.
And her name was Winnie. Winnie, I can recall it. And then she was not all that...
Bright?
Kind of a girl of ill repute a wee bit.
Whoa!
Papa Grant!
Not too bad. But, of course, I had to sit with her, and we had the lunch, and my dad always said, well, you were pretty good stuff to be able to... She wasn't the ideal companion.
No, and your dad was proud of you for hanging out with a woman of ill repute.
Well, that's a little strong, but anyway.
That's what you said.
Ill repute.
Well, in our community, there wasn't too many of those.
No.
But there happened to be this girl, Winnie, and she was a nice, decent enough lady.
How was the lunch?
How was the lunch? What did you eat? Do you remember?
Well, it was modest. It was probably either egg or salmon, or you might have even had ham, but... And then a cake for dessert, and there
you go.
Side
of penicillin.
And then that part of the program would be all over, and then they'd be into the dance again and all the rest of it. But they only had it once a year.
And yeah.
However, that's how this Vox Social came about.
That's interesting.
And some of the listeners would probably be, able to identify with it.
I don't think any listeners can identify with that, Dad. That's incredible.
Except our interns.
Now, Dad, speaking of dating, back when Tim and I were young, we would write on a piece of paper, "Will you go around with me?" And then they'd have boxes that say yes, no, maybe, and sometimes
leave me alone
or something. Yeah. And we fold it up, give it to their friend to give it to them.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, that's how that works.
How would you guys have made your move back in the 40s and 30s? Well, hold on. Yeah, 40s.
Well, the introductions usually came at school, as perhaps you did too, or the social, or at least the church affair. We had quite an organization called Young People's that was stemmed out of the church, and we met social people, and boys and girls would hook up, and that's how we dated.
Right. But how did you make the move? Like, did you go up to a girl and say, "I like you, let's kiss"? Or did you, like, how did you?
Oh, no, that would be way too forward.
Yeah,
no,
well, that would be like the Vox Social girl.
Yeah,
she
well,
would have
no,
done
no.
that.
Hey.
This had to evolve over many months. You couldn't be too forward.
Well, what would you do? Do you remember how you made a move?
Well, I think you probably might say, I like you. I think that might be a good starter.
And would you write it on a piece of paper, or would
no,
you say it to
no,
them?
No, it was just, there was no paper
right.
involved.
Plow it into the field
but what
and take
about,
a balloon ride.
What about that girl that you took her hair and put it into the inkwell?
Well, that was a bad move on my part. I think I got a detention for that, for sure.
No, but did you do that because you liked her, or you just wanted to be a jerk?
The latter. That's for sure.
Because remember, they have the old desks.
Oh, yeah.
That had the holes in them.
Yeah.
We used to have those. Like,
yeah, we had the holes.
I was young.
And
yeah,
we were like,
we
why are there holes there? I had one guy in grade two, Sean from the Orange and True Blue Orange and something foster home. What was that place on Young Street called, Dad?
You're right. It was True Blue.
Or Loyal Orange and Blue. I don't know, whatever. It was
like
foster
a,
home.
Oh,
he
okay.
He threw firecrackers down the hole and lit his desk on fire.
Oh, my God.
He's a special kid.
Bad
he probably knew that girl that you had lunch with. So.
Yeah.
Dad, listen, you and I were chatting the other day, and we're talking about mail delivery.
And
how it's changed over the years. And tell me about mail delivery in your day.
Well, Drew, we were known as RR number one, Rural Route number one, Orangeville.
Okay.
And the mail, of course, summer and winter, would come out the Huckley Road and up one line and then across our 15 side road, and the mail would be delivered. Dad always liked the Globe and Mail, and the Globe and Mail came, but it came one day late. It was published one day, and then, of course, the next day...
Why was it late, though?
Well, that's the delivery. The train came up from Orangeville, and the mailman had long gone on his route before it got there.
Yeah, so it took a while for the paper to get out to your neck of the woods.
Well, that's right. But yeah. He liked the news, and in those days, of course, letter writing was the norm. I would write to your mother... almost every week, and she would return a letter to me. when she was in Guelph, doing her nursing rounds, and so letter writing was very, very common. And we'd go out to the mailbox at the end of the road, and maybe this week we got a letter.
Hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
So this fellow, I felt sorry for him in the winter because in the horse and cutter, he made his rounds and.
Hold on, he wasn't so. Would he drive a vehicle in summertime?
Oh yes, he drove a vehicle.
But in the winter, he couldn't drive the vehicle. So what did he do?
Well, he had a horse and cutter, and it started out in Orangeville.
And what's a cutter?
A sleigh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Someone with.
Yeah, yeah.
A single horse. And he would
maybe
make
they need a horse social lunch thing.
What? Oh, single horse.
Yeah, yeah,
you're trying to make it funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't
work. Oh, the single horses.
So this postman would load up the mail in the back of the sleigh, and he'd hook up the horse to the sleigh, and away he'd go.
That's exactly.
See, people listening have no idea that kind of thing actually happened.
And from our farm, we would see him, the stormiest day of the winter. We'd see him out on the side road, the horse and cutter.
Yeah.
And delivering the mail. There has to be a saying about the hail.
Neither sleet nor hailed.
Well, he certainly personified that.
That's amazing. Now, the other thing we talked about this week was the paper delivery, getting the papers. Did you ever have a paper delivery route?
Yes, no, but my city, my Orangeville cousins had a paper route.
The big city people in Orangeville.
Well, they did. And this train that would come up in the afternoon every day, my cousin Murray had a paper route, and once in a while I'd get to go into town with my bicycle.
Yeah.
And we would go around. He must have had 40 or 50 houses to deliver. And he was very conscious about delivering the paper. And he got an idea, at least he could fold the paper into itself. And then he could toss it onto the veranda.
Yeah.
So that...
It stayed rolled up.
It stayed rolled up.
Yeah.
There was no elastics or anything, but he could fold it in nicely and tuck it in.
See.
And away it would go up to the veranda. And so I would follow him around and...
And how was that experience for you?
Well, I thought it was pretty nice because I was on pavement and I came from gravel, so it was pretty nice going.
So hold on, what I hear you saying is you really enjoyed helping your cousin deliver papers because you finally got to ride your bike on pavement.
Exactly. Well, they never came to the country because they didn't like the gravel roads, so it was nice, smooth driving in the streets of Orangeville.
Would you get dropped off in town with your bike? You wouldn't ride your bike from the farm, would you?
No, I did ride it in.
Holy
yes,
cow!
I did.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was we were 7 miles out of town, so on a bicycle.
And Dad, I know that route. And do you say route or route? Anyway,
yeah.
And coming into town, it's all downhill, but that's a stinker going back.
I know. And you'd have to, you couldn't ride at night, of course, so you'd have to stay overnight at Uncle Clifford's, and then we'd come home the next day. An overnighter.
I want to tell you a story about Uncle Clifford just before we say goodbye here.
Yeah.
Going a little overtime with my dad, but...
Oh, it's your dad.
It's my show.
Yeah.
Uncle Clifford ran the menswear store in Orangeville for years. Everyone knew it. Marshall's Menswear. Everybody knew it. They had harnesses for horses. He made belts. He made handcrafted leather products, right?
So
shoes
like,
and boots and overalls and gloves and all that kind of
like
stuff.
Like Mark's Work Warehouse, but Marshall's.
Yeah, when Mark's Work Warehouse came to Orangeville, it kind of put a dent in
so
the business.
So thanks for bringing that up, Tim.
Anyway, Uncle Clifford was pretty old at this particular point in time, and there's two quick stories I have about him. The back of the shop on Broadway there, he'd have to get into his car and leave the back little parking area that was for staff only. One day, I don't know what happened, but he locked the accelerator and went flying out the driveway across the road into the library.
That's right.
Got out of the car, went down to the grumpy license lady on Broadway, walked into the office, put his license down on the table, said, "I'm done."
But I did get my book returned.
Yes, on time. And then the other one was I phoned him up one day and he says, "Hello?" I said, "Uncle Clifford, it's Drew." "Hello?" I said, "Uncle Clifford, it's Drew Marshall." "Hello?" "Uncle Clifford." He says, "I don't know who this is. I can't hear a word you're saying. I stepped on my hearing aid yesterday, so if you want to talk to me, drop by the house. Goodbye."
That's awesome.
That's right. Well, that was over quicker than that. And Elsie.
It's good stuff.
That's good stuff.
Always good. Listen, Dad, I love you very much.
Yes, I love you too. And thank you for giving us a call and a shout out.
Yes, and we'll see you soon. See you soon.
Thanks,
okay.
Drew.
Thanks, Dad. Bye-bye. Grant Marshall on the Drew Marshall Show. Some good stories about back in the day.
That's funny. Stepped on my earring, eh? If you want to talk to me, drop by. What would we do that for?